Yeah, baby. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Be on the show. 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE. Shoot us a text. We got a handful of text over the last segment or two. We're going to do a little textual healing coming up here later on in the show to get cleaned up and caught up on those. But we spent quite a bit of time on that Dabo Swinney story and soundbite. You guys have blown up the text line. If you did, stay tuned, because I'm going to come back to those here in just a little while from now. But before I do, let's get the audio blitz. We got Rashad Beard, by the way, coming up in 38 minutes and some change. Make sure you're here for that. Rashad's going to talk a little Carolina Panther football with us as the Panthers, 7 p.m. tonight. We'll take on the Cleveland Browns in preseason game numero uno. Shedeur Sanders getting the start for the Browns. That is interesting for Carolina, as the majority of the starters are expected to get play time today. No J.C. Horn, as he was involved in a car accident earlier this week, is being held out with some minor bang ups, bruise ups, whatever. So no J.C. Horn tonight against Shedeur Sanders, but it seems like most everybody else is going to be available. We'll talk with Rashad Beard about that coming up at 8:40 to wrap up this hour of the show. Final hour of the show from 9 to 10 a.m. will belong entirely to you. It is an Armada assault, takeover, whatever you want to call it. I need a cool alliteration word there. I can't do takeover because Cole and Diesel have the Tolo takeover. That's already booked. That's already used. I got to have something unique, original, to this show. So I got to come up with something. But in the final hour of the show, the airwaves belong to you. You can set any topic that you want. You can bring up any conversation that you want. It's all on you.
Agenda, the Armada agenda.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all. So the final hour of the show becomes the Armada agenda. Anything you want to get to, final hour. But between here and there, we got a lot we got to get to. Let's get to it, shall we? Audio Blitz, some of the best audio we've picked up over the past 24 hours. You know, there's a... politics has become very polarizing, obviously. I'm not talking about politics. But political figures in the year 2025 are just as polarizing as the politics themselves. Which is why I like to think that any time that a politician who, whether it is their own fault, their own design or not, is a polarizing figure, has a take that I think is widely universal, I think we should celebrate it. I think we should work on finding our common ground. And I think it's important that we do that. Here is a take from former First Lady Michelle Obama. That's not a hot take. That's a great take. That's not a hot take. That's a correct take. Two things came when I heard that clip yesterday for the first time. Number one, I think from this point forward, I'm going to refer to ESPN as Real Housewives of Bristol. I think that's solid. I like it. Number two, as much as he lives just to get his name said, I'm super good with Michelle Obama referring to Stephen A. Smith as he would be a great Real Housewife, because she's right.
I've never watched Real Housewives. I've seen like commercials, the trailers, promos, whatever for it.
You know how?
I never sat down and thought, you know what? Real Housewives of Atlanta, that's close to here. I mean, you might run into one of those people. Let's watch this and see what's going on.
There's Atlanta. There's Miami. Like, there's a bunch of them. You know how, Zoe, for a very long time, I complain about women's wrestling is that it seems like every couple of months/years, women's wrestling resets to wrestler A steals boyfriend of wrestler B, or wrestler A calls wrestler B up, and that's like their storyline. Oh, she called her the B word. And that's like the whole storyline. And it's always my problem, because over on the men's side, you have all these like long drawn out, detailed, in-depth storylines. And then on the women's side, it's like, she said he...
Well, I think that's still a thing on AEW as far as...
It is sometimes.
No, I'm talking about that word and a certain wrestler.
Yeah.
who is a dude.
I don't even care. Like, to the point that for me, like, the word doesn't hold the weight that it did when Trish was calling Lita that word, right? Like, whatever. That's what Real Housewives is. Like, that's what it is. It's that, but just a TV show that's been on for 17 seasons.
So you've watched episodes of the thing?
Yes. Okay. On my own volition.
I'm not being critical. I know that I haven't, so I'm just
my wife
curious
will acknowledge,
how you sat through an entire episode.
My wife will acknowledge that reality shows are one of her guilty pleasures. And I'm not judging. Again, I watch like 9 hours of professional wrestling a week. I'm no one to judge. But this is why I've said we love drama. Even the dutiest dudes out there, we love some drama. We love sports because of the drama. We like it because of the competition, but the competition breeds drama, and that's why we like it. That's a good take. I don't particularly care how you feel about Michelle Obama or her politics. That's a universal take at this point, and a damn good one. All right, let me get another one in here. Mike McDaniel won't stop being weird. All right, Mike, that's not how that expression goes. The expression is, it's not a good morning, it's a great morning. Why is it a great morning? Because we woke up. That's how they expect, because we're alive, because we get to celebrate everything that this world has to offer today. That's why it's a great day. It's not, it's a great day because, and I quote, we're one day closer to death,
maybe,
Mike.
Maybe he's a believer in heaven that he's going to go there, and if you're one day closer to death, you're one day closer to heaven.
I mean, it's okay. I still think that's a long roundabout way. And here's the thing. Like, if that is your belief, cool, great, awesome. Don't you want to experience life? Like, the way, like, it's a gift, right? Isn't that what we say? Life's a gift? Don't you want to experience? I don't know. It's just, if he said, no, it's not a good day. Correction, it's a great day. Why is it a great day? Because, like, look around. You're alive. You get to experience this life. And whether you believe that there is a next one, or that when you close your eyes for the last time, that's it, you're done, you're dusted, whatever you believe, like, that's not how that expression works, Mike.
He also could have made a bet with an assistant coach, watch I can say anything and they'll laugh.
I will keep it a buck. I have done that in TV before. I had a bet. I was doing a boxing match in Biloxi, Mississippi with Roy Jones a long time ago. And I had a buddy of mine, a guy by the name of Roger Howell, who was the best friend of mine in high school, who was watching in Pensacola. And he texted me and he's like, I bet you can't say, and I don't even remember what the phrase was, but he's like, I bet you can't say this on TV. And I was like, bet me $100 right now. And he goes, bet. And I did it. And fortunately, he was like real dumb. He used like a phrase that just perfectly worked for boxing. So I just worked it in. And it was like, he texted me. He's like, dude, you suck. I'm like, dude, you're $100 poor. I've done that. I would get that. But it's still, that's a weird phrase to use in that spot.
So I want to believe it was a bet. That's what I want to believe.
I mean, I do too, because, no, it's a great day because we're one day closer to death. It's a weird, even for me.
And those guys laughed at it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, if it just fell dead, so to speak.
Like, we are all going to one day.
On the
right,
crowd.
Mike?
If it fell dead on the crowd, then the morbidity is more stated. But the fact that they laughed,
just weird.
Do you want to keep your jab so bad that you'll laugh at anything? I don't know.
The college, nope, scratch that. Little League World Series is ongoing. A couple of days ago, Kentucky, their Little League team, was on the field. Their head coach is a cat by the name of Mike Riordan. Mike went out to the bump because his pitcher was struggling a little bit early. And he had a mound visit to try to reset the mentality. Good visit indeed. Good visit indeed.
That was equivalent to Josh Allen yesterday.
Good.
It's the same sort of acting, same sort of delivery. It's just
I hope that I don't hate fun like you hate fun. You think this guy went out there to talk to a group of 8-year-old kids with a solid koala bear joke?
No.
And you think,
so 8-year-old kids are going to laugh at that? No, they don't get it.
They didn't laugh at it. That's
right.
Why it's so great.
Right.
One kid goes, ha, And then they all, but here's the best part, because the video, and I will say the video makes it better, because Mike, the head coach of the Kentucky World Little League World Series team, comes out, and the pitcher, again, he's struggling, and he's like having a hard time hitting the zone, and the guy comes out, and he goes, you know why a koala bear is not a marsupial, not a mammal? Because he doesn't have the right qualifications. And he just stands there for a second. One kid goes, ha. The rest of them stare at him. He just turns and walks away. That's it. End of conversation. Just walks away. And the camera's on the pitcher. And the pitcher walks. You can see the face of like, dude, really? And then once like he's 4, 5, 6 steps away, the pitcher just starts grinning ear to ear. Like it clicks and he gets it. And why that was so funny. Here's the thing. From a sports psychology standpoint, let me tell you why. Jokes aside, great jokes aside, that's a quality mound visit. Because if that kid is like me, I get caught up in my own head if I'm not performing well. Whether it's the radio show or as a Little League pitcher or anything else, I get caught up in my own head. I am unable sometimes to go, bro, you bleeped it up, put it aside, move on to the next rep. It sticks with me. And a mental reset is required sometimes. One of the reasons, I'm going to be a sap for a second. One of the reasons that I fell head over heels for my wife is because she has this ability to say something funny, dumb, insightful, whatever, and it takes over my thoughts for a minute. It's a good mental reset. That's a phenomenal, unique, but phenomenal mental reset for that kid. Because for at least 2 or 3 seconds, his brain is going, qualifications. Coach, are you serious? And then you see the smile. You see that mental reset. And for people like me, that's all it takes sometimes. I need 3 seconds to laugh, or to rage, or to think, or be provoked, or whatever. I just need 3 seconds of something else to invade and dominate my headspace, and then the old thoughts are gone. That is a phenomenal Little League baseball coach right there.
It's an awesome thing, and I'm glad, I hope it worked, but there's a couple things, problems I have. First of all, stop saying I don't know how to have fun, because that new narrative is going to make me stop having fun.
Well, it's like,
and if I don't have fun, we don't have fun. And if we don't have fun, then the show is not as good. So I don't ruin the show by telling me I don't know how to have fun.
That man told a great qualification joke.
Here's the other thing.
And you hated on him.
No. Here's the real reason why. Majority of my family lives in Kentucky. There was no accent on that guy. So, I mean, there was no Kentucky accent, which is the Pickens accent, by the way, is the same as the Kentucky accent. There was none of that. So where's this guy from? What's he doing in Kentucky coaching Little League?
I don't know.
Because he's not from around
here. I don't know. Guy from Ohio? You don't have a South Carolina accent. What are you doing here? I mean, like, we move. I love this guy. He's my new favorite baseball coach. Can he go coach the Braves? You think that would fix it?
Do you think they would laugh at that joke?
At this point, I'm laughing at them. Who cares? Nick Tarnaski, or as we call him, Nick Tarnasty, is a NHL Hockey League player. You don't know who Nick Tarnaski is, except yes, you do. You remember the golf course fight video that was going around a couple of weeks ago? I don't remember what it was. Time's a flat circle. Everything sucks. I'm a Mike McDaniel fatalist now. You remember the...
And then you die.
And then you die. You remember the golf course fight video with the hockey player going around? That's Nick Tarnaski. If you missed it, long story short, there was a drunk guy on a golf course. He and his boys were taking north of 20 minutes to finish a golf hole. And at the end of the hole, every time that somebody went up to this group and were like, guys, you're taking forever. Can you speed it up, please? This guy, drunk as a skunk, started challenging them to fights. And obviously nobody was, and he's like, he's an in shape dude. Nobody's going to take him up. And then he made the oopsie daisy of challenging Nick Tarnaski, AKA Nick Tarnasty, to a fight. Nick Tarnaski is in the NHL. And he is in the NHL for one reason and one reason alone. Because he is a tough, brawling brute. His only job. If somebody hits our guy, you go kill them. He skates around. He plays some defense, and when somebody crosses a line, he's the dude that pulls the jersey over the head and punches in the face. That's it. Well, Nick Tarnaski was on the Spittin' Chicklets podcast not but a couple of days ago, and he talked about the fight. You missed the fight? Quick breakdown. Guy challenges. Tarnaski walks up. He's like, dude, I'm not backing down. Get off the green. The guy charges Tarnaski. Tarnaski grabs this drunk dude, walks him down a hill, and throws him in a lake. The dude gets out of the lake. He runs at Tarnaski again. Tarnaski, like a hockey player, grabs the front of the shirt, lands, pow, 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 4, 5, 6, fist to the chin. The guy goes down. The guy gets up again. He goes after Tarnaski again. Tarnaski again grabs the shirt, pow, 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 4 to the jaw. The guy goes down again. The guy gets up again, comes after Tarnaski again. Tarnaski grabs him and, like a rag doll, throws him down the hill. The dude does not get back up after that. Well, Bissy from the Spittin' Chicklets pod said, out of curiosity, how'd the rest of your round go? That is indeed the most hockey golf story of all time.
Also, the most hockey accent. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, bud. What a beaut. What a beaut. Just spare parts, bud. That was fantastic. My man said, first off, shot an 81. That's just good golf. I don't care who you are. Second off, he said, it had been lower, but I got a double bogey on 16. Why? Because I had to talk to the cops. The cops came. I had to talk to the police. So I doubled, but then I birdied the next one. Well, how'd you get through it? Oh, simple. I walked over after every shot to the beer cooler. I stuck my punching hand down in the beer cooler. I iced my punching hand after every golf shot. Then I dried it off and did it again. That's the second best golf thing of all time behind Scottie Scheffler ripping a toot on 17. And the play-by-play guy going, well, that shot had a little wind behind it. I mean, the two best things to ever happen in golf happened in the last 2 weeks. Spectacular. Spike said, pure Letterkenny. That is exactly correct. That is a Letterkenny scene that the writers of that show wish they came up with. Oh, bud, you bogeyed 16. Yeah, well, I had to talk to the cops. The cops came. They wanted to talk about the fight. Like, incredible. Thank you, Tarnaski. All right, I got some more sound for you. When we come back, Rashad Beard at 8:40 to talk Panther preseason football, all coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Do you have plans tomorrow? No, you don't. Or if you did, I'm about to change them for you, ladies and gentlemen, because tomorrow at Three Friends Bar and Grill in the Wade Hampton Shopping Center, the Publix Shopping Center on Wade Hampton Boulevard. There we go. I'm a professional. It is the Delirium Brewery Belgian Tap Takeover. Three Friends is turning the taps over to Delirium Brewery. They are master crafters of some beautiful Belgian brewskis. And if you're like me, I love a Belgian-style beer. I love a Belgian-style beer. That's why I will be there tomorrow for the Delirium Brewing Tap Takeover at Three Friends Bar and Grill in the Public Shopping Center on Wade Hampton Boulevard. They are not only going to have some new and locally crafted Belgians from Delirium, but they're going to have live music. They are going to have, here's what I'm excited about. A one-day-only chicken and jalapeno cheddar waffle drizzled in bourbon maple glaze. All of those things are wonderful. Fried chicken, waffles, jalapenos, bourbon maple glaze. Any combination of two or three of those things are wonderful. You put them all together on a plate, yeah, your boy's going to be there. All right. Then you add, not only do I get the chicken and jalapeno cheddar waffle special drizzled in a bourbon maple glaze, but on top of that, I get to taste a few samples of a few Belgian beauts, bud, from Delirium during the tap takeover. I'm all in. If you have plans tomorrow, no, you don't. Change them to be at Three Friends Bar and Grill tomorrow for the Delirium Brewery Tap Takeover. Live music, good food, great brewskis, wonderful people. It's going to be a party. Make sure you are there. That is, again, tomorrow all day, live music starting at 7 p.m., the special and the brewskis throughout the day. The Public Shopping Center on Wade Hampton Boulevard. It's our friends at Three Friends Bar and Grill. All right, let's get a couple more sound bites in here. We got Rashad Beard coming up with this in the next segment. Let's go with this one. I want to keep it 100. All right. I'm pulling for Arch Manning. I don't believe in Steve Sarkisian. Like, I believe Steve Sarkisian's a great coach. I just think, much like Mario Cristobal, he's just not a coach that I trust when the pressure gets to be at its most intense. So I am not selecting Texas as the national champs. But as I am a New Orleans Saints fan, and Archie was like the first player that put us on the map, I'm a Manning guy. It doesn't hurt that Uncle Peyton is really funny. And it turns out Eli's got that, like, almost like British sense of humor. Like, he's not, he doesn't strike you as funny, but then you realize he really is. And I'm going to keep it a buck. I can't wait for the Manning cast to return. I love the Manning cast. I've decided to admit it and just come out of the closet as a Manningist. I love the Manning cast. It's fun to me. Peyton and Eli actually break down the game. And usually the guests are pretty good. Every now and then you get like a real bad one, but they're pretty good. Anyway, pulling for Arch. However, Arch kind of stabbed me in the back a little bit yesterday. New Orleans seafood or Texas barbecue? Now, I'm not going to make the argument that Texas barbecue isn't good. But if we're going to keep it a buck, dry rub barbecue is like the third best barbecue at best, right? Like, we're putting the Carolina and Kansas
City
barbecue.
Dry rub is so much better. It's the best barbecue. I wish dry rub would have existed when I was a kid.
Oh, man.
Because you can't hide what's underneath with dry rub. With barbecue sauce, you're getting it for the sauce. You're not really getting it for whatever meat it's on.
Nah, see, I disagree with that. I will say there is a difference between good barbecue, because barbecue is as much about the texture and the taste of the meat as it is whatever's on it. I could say the same thing about dry rub. Like, seasonings can be very, very dominant on the meat. Dry rub ain't my thing, especially in like Central Texas, where a lot of these meats, a lot of Texas barbecue, it's just a salt and pepper rub. Like, it's just salt and pepper. Which, cool, but at the end of the day, like, I want a complimentary taste with the meat. But even if you're going to say Texas barbecue better than New Orleans seafood, I understand this is a very subjective take, but like, New Orleans is literally the food capital of the United States, and you're going Texas barbecue? Come on, Arch.
All right, I'm looking up Texas,
be better than that.
Texas breakfast tacos, and yes, please.
I am very interested in that. I am very interested in that.
Oh, they look good.
Hey, speaking of coaches being weird and funny, but weird, here's Jim Harbaugh.
Okay, what's wrong with anything that he said? I
appreciate that Jim Harbaugh is out here spreading the good word of Jesus and SpongeBob. I'm not even joking. I respect it. All right?
You seem sarcastic about it.
Not at all.
It's just,
from the perspective, much like with Mike earlier, from the perspective.
Yeah, at least he didn't say, and then you die. I mean, there's
you
that.
You watch SpongeBob, and then you die. From the perspective of what you, fair or not, kind of come to expect from a professional football coach, having attack every day with relentless optimism and yada, 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 and I learned that from SpongeBob SquarePants, isn't the take you expect.
Listen, if you look like a Muppet, you're going to sound like a Muppet. That's all I'm saying. That's, I mean.
Old Harbaugh. What a dude. What a dude. What a guy.
You wear khakis, you probably have that, you know, that.
That's fair.
That outlook on life.
That's fair. All right, and let's see. Let's do this. Because it's been a hot minute between media days and technical issues and also me being a dumb idiot sometimes. It's been a hot minute.
No. No. Thank you for taking some of the blame.
I admit when I'm an idiot, and that's regularly. All right? So, with a combination of technical difficulties, multiple road trips and being out of town, and me being a big jackass, we've missed my guy, Rashad Beard, for a couple of weeks in a row. Well, guess what, people? If you're not paying attention...
He's doing his best not to nod, by the way. Everything that you've said...
Everything I've said is correct. Well, if you don't know, now you know, playa. It's game day for the Carolina Panthers. 7 o'clock tonight, taking on Shedeur Sanders and the Cleveland Browns. We're going to talk a little preseason football with the man, the myth, the legend, the icon, the titan of the industry, the host of the Panther Nation broadcast, Rashad Beard. Makes his way back onto the Rob Brown Show next, right here on the Fan Upstate. Due to a combination of ACC Media Days, SEC Media Days, vacation, and me being a dumbass, it's been a minute since we've had our next guest on the show, but our next guest is back on the show, a young man who hosts a show called the Panther Nation Podcast, which you can follow on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, get on over to the YouTube channel and become one of the Panther Nation Army, the legendary Rashad Beard, back on the show. What's up, big dog? Been a minute. How we living, brother?
Yeah, man. It's good to be back. Good to be back. We're good. Excited. It's game day. Panthers football is back, so let's get it.
You know, it's I want to talk a little football, but I want to start by saying this about you and about the pod, Rashad, because obviously you've been kind enough to join us for what, like 2+ years running, talking Panther football. One of my favorite things over the last 6-7 months is I'm on Reddit. I'm on the Panther subreddit. That's a great place to follow the team because it's 200,000 Panther fans that are all giving you the news and opinions and thought. I like hearing what other people outside of the sphere have to say. About once a week, somebody pops the question up, what Panther pod, where should I listen to Panther stuff? And it has gotten to the point where, and this is not blowing smoke, it happened again yesterday, it has gotten to the point where almost every time, the number one most given answer and upvoted answer is the Panther Nation podcast. So sincerely, congrats, dude, because the movement ain't no joke.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. We put in a lot of work. And at the end of the day, we're just having fun. This is a hobby that has taken on a life of its own. It's taken us some places that, you know, I never imagined I would have the opportunity to interview the legendary greatest Panther of all time, Steve Smith, 3 times. So that's incredible. So we're just having fun at the end of the day. We're having fun.
Hell yeah. Love to hear it. All right, let's do what we are here to do and talk a little football. 36,000-foot view. We got last weekend, Canales saying starters playing 2/4 of the first 2 games, assuming that everything goes well, everything goes smoothly. I assume we're going to see him for the first 2/4 of the first 2 games. Overall, for tonight specifically, your expectations of seeing, your desire to see what?
I just want to see a little bit of clean football, man. I want to see our offense come out there and do well. The Browns are a great team to kind of cut our teeth with. The first preseason game, they're not the greatest, right? They're going through some things. They don't have a solid quarterback situation. So it's a great opportunity for our offense to get going against a solid defense, Myles Garrett and company. Not sure if they're playing or not, but it's a good opportunity. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's get some momentum going. And I want to give a good shout out to Canales because I think he saw last season he had to adjust. Last year, we did not play our starters in the preseason, and we got off to a pretty slow start. And it appears that other teams around the league are also saying, hey, we might need to start playing our guys. Joe Burrow and company played last night. So that's all. It's a good sign. I think there is starting to be data that supports playing in the preseason as it relates to injuries. So that's always good to get your guys out, get the wheels turning. Doesn't need to be perfect football, but you want to see Bryce connect with some guys. You want to see, and ultimately at the end of the day, we want to get out the game healthy. So I don't care about anything else. We want to be healthy.
It is. I did read yesterday afternoon that the Browns are not planning on playing the starters, or if they do, it will not be for more than a series or two. And I agree with you. In fact, we talked about this yesterday on the show when we started finding out what teams were at least announcing they were rolling out starters. I do think there has been a philosophy shift, and considering Canales on Saturday or Sunday, whenever it was kind of one of the first guys to come out and go, yo, not only are we playing starters, we're extending that time. I was happy to see it for the reasons that you just mentioned, especially when it's not just that you have a bunch of new guys like Tedero McMillan, but XL is going to be moving exclusively to the two. Adam Thielen back to the slot. Offensive line, never too many reps to get everybody back on the same page. Considering the weight of this season and what it means, I know you're risking injury. I know there's all these reasons a lot of coaches don't like it. I love rolling the ones out for extended time. Give them as much of an opportunity to gel so that week one on the road in Jacksonville, a team that I do think will be better this year but is still a beatable team to get off on the right foot, I'd rather roll into there. Maybe we're a little bruised up, but we're clicking.
Yeah, and ultimately, you got to build some momentum. So I fully support playing your players, especially given the way we started the season last year. Not good. So if you see something going wrong, you got to be able to adjust. And I think Canales is doing that, and I commend him for it. Again, one can only hope that we don't have any significant injuries. Obviously, folks may get banged up. This is the NFL. At the end of the day, people are going to be injured and banged up, as long as it's nothing serious. So I'm excited to see the offense out there. T-Mac, want to see T-Mac out there get going. Got to see him at Fan Fest. You know, a couple of things were errant, a couple errant football. So we got to make sure that chemistry gets going. There's no better way to build chemistry than get out there and get live game reps, whether it's preseason or not. We got to get some live game reps out there.
Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. What do you think is the look for the Rooks tonight? You can talk about Princely, you can talk about Tet, you can talk about any combination you want, but what are the expectations for you out of the rookies in game one? Do you think they're going to get plenty of opportunity to make a play? Do you think this is more of a welcome to the league, let's ease you in, kind of tip into the shallow end? What do you think we see out of the new guys tonight?
No, I think we get a hefty dose of T-Mac for sure. Even that's what I learned at Fan Fest, is that they're going to get him the football early and often. And I think we're going to see him a lot. But I got to be honest, I'm not really concerned or obviously we're excited to see T-Mac, but I'm really at this point more excited to see our defensive rookies, right? There's some guys out there that are really, really playing well. Princely, excited to see him. He brings a different kind of swagger and edge to the defense. So I want to see him get after the quarterback. He's been doing well one-on-ones in the joint practices. So I want to see him get out there. Nick Scorton, same with him. Latham Ransom is having an awesome offseason and training camp so far. So I want to see him out there. So my eyes are really on the other rookies outside of T-Mac. We know T-Mac is going to get the football. We know he's a baller. I want to see the guys from the later rounds. Mitchell Evans, our tight end that we drafted, going to get a lot of opportunity due to the fact that Tommy Tremble is out. So we saw him at Fan Fest as well, get a ton of looks. So those are the guys I'm looking for and have my eyes on for tonight.
Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate Panthers Browns tonight, 7 p.m. in Charlotte, North Carolina. I know you just said you're more excited about the guys on defense. So am I. I'm interested to see what they look like. I'm still going to ask you about McMillan because there's plenty of rookies, plenty of guys folks are excited about. It is, to me, a mix of both the expectations are elevated, and not just by you and the rest of the Panther Nation Army, but the folks around the league, like media guys around the league, are kind of starting to talk about this team. And I think a big part of the reason is the cat looks like a dude out there, and I'm not just talking about in the helmet and the shirts making one-handers. I'm talking in pads making some circus catches. If this dude is in the regular season, what he looks like he's about to be in the preseason? Yup.
Yeah. We're excited, man. And again, I've been pounding the table for T-Mac for a long time. He's an excellent player. There's a lot of potential. But again, I don't want to go out there on a limb and say, oh, he's going to have a 1,000-yard season. I mean, that would be great. The kid is going to have to adjust to the physicality of the game in NFL, right? He has had some up and down practices, according to Canales. It has not all been great. Has not all been, you know, the one-handed catches that you see on X, right? It's some drops. There's some drops in there. There's some route things that we need to clean up. There's dealing with that physicality, like I mentioned. All of our cornerbacks are 6 foot above and 200-plus pounds. That's something he's going to have to deal with game in and game out. So he's going to have – there's going to be some lumps he's got to take. But we're all excited about T-Mac. The potential is there. The circus catches have been awesome to see. But I, like myself, have to say, hold on. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. He's not the second coming of Megatron just yet. Let's hold off and let's see. Let's see what happens. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at. I'm excited for him. I want to see it, but let's see what he does tonight. One game at a time.
I respect that. Give you something that I said on the show on Tuesday, Rashad, and let you react to it. I don't think any of your listeners from the PNP Army who are here, if you've been with us before, you know, I'm a Saints fan, all right? That's why Rashad and I, each other, we give each other hell all the time. But we covered the team, so I'm going to have Rashad on to talk about him. Here's my take, not just as a guy who covers the Panthers, not just as a guy who is, an editorialist, whatever you want to call me, not just a guy who's a Saints fan. My expectations for the Carolina Panthers in 2025, after what I've seen in the preseason and after really kind of diving in and evaluating Tampa, Atlanta, New Orleans, the take elevated Rashad from. The expectation is not, I think this team can and should compete for the division. I think this team should win the division this year. Honestly, new OC in Tampa, 3rd in 3 years. No idea. It's a passing game coordinator, right? Like, not, we got an established guy. I look at Atlanta. If Michael Penix Jr. stays healthy, maybe they're them. But that's also Atlanta. Like, you and I both know what that team does every time the pressure's on the line. And my team sucks. So my expectations have jumped from compete for the NFC South to legitimately. I drove to North Carolina for ACC Media Days, and while I was up there, I locked down a hefty bet on Panthers to win the South, and I don't feel like that's a hot take anymore.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's as a Panthers fan, we are a little bit scarred, right? So it's tough for us to say, hey, division expectations are on the line, right? We have to win the division. It's tough for me as a Panthers fan to do that. Now, outside, sure. I mean, yes, the circumstances are there for us to make a nice run at the division. Like you said, Tampa dealing with the third OC, but they always tend to kind of make it work, and they are talented. They have a lot of talent on that squad. Saints, yeah, you know where he's staying. But the Falcons, again, there's some talent on that roster. So we just got to, again, I think if we do what we have to do, control what we can control, right, play our game, week in, week out. I think certainly you can see the Panthers hoist the NFC South division title, but I'm not expecting it. The expectation for me is not that. I just want to see us be competitive every week and not fall into a trap where we're starting to feel ourselves, right? We still have to go out and prove ourselves. Although it feels good. I got to be honest. The momentum is there, but I can't go. I can't go with that expectation. I
Bro,
can't do it.
Even when I compliment you, you got to make it personal.
I know.
Even when sorry, I compliment you, you got to take a dig. All right, fine. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The big question, and this is, I'm going to do my best. This is going to be the only time I'm going to ask this question during the preseason, unless it's just something goes wrong and we go, now we have to talk about it. But what did you see? What have you seen out of Bryce? Do you believe that the way the last year ended is the way that this year is going to start? I know we've seen a lot of clips. He's gotten, I mean, just mounds of compliments from the boys on the team, from Canales, from folks covering. Seems like dude is in a real good headspace right now. What have you seen out of the preseason that leads you to believe, if you believe, the momentum carries over into 2025, and we will do our best not to mention Bryce Young again in the preseason unless we have to?
Yeah, no, it has to. I think that's the expectation for me. I mean, I think there's nothing that has gone wrong where things shouldn't be. He's got the same OC back-to-back, or same head coach, OC back-to-back years. That's step one, right? That's always a continuity is always a plus. But not only that, he's got additional weapons. He's got a solid run game, Chuba Hubbard, Rico Dowdle, but you also get T-Mac. So the expectation is that, hey, your circumstances are the same, if not better. So your improvement should be that you get better, right? You, the expectation that you pick up where you left off at the end of the last season, things were clicking, we were firing on all cylinders, and now let's pick up where we left off. If that doesn't happen, I got to be honest with you, the Panthers season is going to be a huge disappointment. I think we have to pick up where we left off. That is the expectation, and there's no excuses for Bryce. I love Bryce. I got to be honest with you. I got his jersey on. I support him. But if he comes out and he doesn't do well, that's not a good sign. The circumstances are perfect. We always talk about how this is a team sport. It's 11 guys on offense. The offensive line has to be great. That's a top 10 offensive line. You've got weapons, right? You've got a very, very good receiving core. That hasn't been the case for a long time around these parts, right? You got a solid run game. So, Bryce, you do what you have to do. You don't have to be Superman. You don't have to be Cam or anything like that. But you hold up your end of the bargain, and we're going to be fine.
Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. You can find them on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. But more importantly, get on over to YouTube, search, subscribe, turn the bell on, because I got no doubt Shad's going to do 27 to 35 hours of live streaming this weekend, especially if the boys look good. My man, good to have you back in the fold, brother. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Always a pleasure coming on the show, man. I love it here. Zoe, what's good, man? You all right, Zoe? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just sitting back and listening. That's all.
All right, man. My man, Zoe. He's
really struggling with the fact that I might have been right about Bryce Young the whole time.
No, I'm not. As I told him, I want him to be right, but he just hasn't yet. So, I mean, you know.
Rashad.
There's a lot of positivity going on. I didn't want to add negativity. So, I mean, you know.
Rashad.
That was his key.
My man, good to talk to you, brother. We are out next Friday. We'll see if maybe we'll get you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, recap, get the four next week. If not, we'll catch up with you. I appreciate you, my man.
All right, guys, appreciate you.
Rashad Beard, Panther Nation Podcast. Again, get on over, follow on YouTube. Reddit's favorite podcast. Make sure you go check them out. Make sure you check us out. If I could whistle, I would do it right now, but I can't.
Thank God you can't. Instead, I hate whistling.
I'm going to give you the second sexiest sound you could possibly hear on the radio, the sports flash.
Yay.
That's the nicest thing I've said.
I'm trying to talk here, okay? Why don't you just go on. Baltimore Ravens knocked off the Indianapolis Colts 24-16 last night. Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson left in the first quarter with a dislocated pinky finger. Looked painful after taking a hard sack. Former Giants quarterback Daniel Jones stepped in, going 10 of 21 for 144 yards, followed by former Duke quarterback Riley Leonard, who's completed 12 of 24 for 92 yards and a pick. The Ravens' Keaton Mitchell rushed for 68 yards and a touchdown. Las Vegas and Seattle ended in a 23-23 tie, just like soccer. Raiders quarterback Aiden O'Connell went 18 of 30 for 205 yards, touchdown, two picks, while Drew Lock went 12 of 22 for 147 to TD and a pick for Seattle. The Atlanta Braves took game one of a five-game set over Miami with an 8-6 win last night. Pierce Johnson got the win after a single inning after starter Carlos Carrasco gave up 9 hits and 6 runs through 5.2 innings.